One of the 613 mitzvot of the Torah, which is temple focused, but nevertheless still applies today, relates to the purity and sanctity and holiness of the temple and its surrounding area. This mitzvah is commanded to the Jewish people in Parshat Naso, in the start of the fifth chapter. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'emor, God says to Moshe, saying, Tzavos b'nei Yisrael, I command the Jewish people, v'yishalchu min ha-machaneh, and you must send out of the camp, kol zarua, anybody with tzarat, v'cholzav, and a man or a woman who had a unexpected bodily discharge, v'chol tamei lanafesh, and anybody who came into contact with impurity. This verse presents a mitzvah which is far beyond what we are familiar with. The verse, if we're reading it correctly, has said that any Jew who is impure, having come into contact with a dead person, I'd assume that means anybody who goes to a funeral, is sent out of the camp. That's amazing. If you attend a funeral, you can't enter the Jewish camp. Well, I think we would all agree that at the very least, the old city of Jerusalem would be defined as the Jewish camp. Is the verse saying that anybody who attends a funeral may not enter the old city of Jerusalem because we may not enter the camp? The Torah repeats this law in the next two verses, but never qualifies it. Mizachar nekeva tishalechu, in Parak Hei Pasuk Gimel, the mitzvah applies to male and female alike. Al michutz machaneh tishalchum, they must leave the camp. What's the consequence? V'lo yitamus machanehem, so they do not defile the camp. Asher ani shochem betocham, that I, God says, lives among the Jewish people. The Jewish people do that. V'yisukem b'nei yisav ha'shucho tam michutz machaneh, they send them out of the camp. V'asher yiber ha'mashav Moshe kein asu b'nei Yisrael. This law in the Torah, one could look at these verses and say that this mitzvah was totally limited to the time that the Jewish people was in the desert, and it doesn't apply today at all. Usually, though, we try as much as possible not to limit the mitzvot of the Torah to the very short time frame that the Jews were in the desert. Especially in a situation like this, this law appears right before the law of the Sotah, which applies, you know, in all time, the law of the Nazir, which applies for all time, the law of the priestly blessings. So though it's possible to limit this to when the Jewish people traveled in the desert, in the camp, we'd be reluctant to do that. And therefore, we're left here with a mitzvah, which, as far as we understand it, should apply today, and should severely limit who is able to enter the old city of Jerusalem, not to mention the Temple Mount. The Rambam, in his ruling about this law in the third chapter of Biyat Mikdash, begins by writing, Mitzvah Aseh, there is a positive commandment, L'shaleach kol ha-tmeim, to send all impure people, min ha-mikdash, out of the temple. This is a significant change from what it said in the verse. The verse said that they were sent out of the machaneh, out of the entire camp, which created the problem of somebody who is impure. Are they allowed to remain in the old city? Are they allowed to remain in Israel? The Rambam limits this law and says it only applies to the temple itself. Shne'emar v'yishalchu min ha-machaneh kol tzarua v'chol zav v'chol tamei lanafesh. Then the Rambam, based on the Gemara Pesachim on Daf Samechet, gives even more explanation. This means that somebody impure may not enter the actual temple. The simple reading of the verse, that's how we just read it, the simple reading of the verse, is that all the impure people in the verse, the leper, the individual who had a bodily emission and the person who attended a funeral, all three of them are sent out of the same place. They're all mentioned together. The Rambam says that is not the case. Tamud lomar b'mitzora, badad yeshev michutz l'machaneh moshavo. The Torah elsewhere is explicit that the mitzora, the person mitzora, the leper, is sent additionally, alone, outside. Zemachaneh Yisrael shumi petach Yerushalayim v'lifnim. The person with Tzarat, the leper, is sent most outside. This individual is sent outside of the camp, in the desert, it meant outside of the camp, and today it means outside the old city of Jerusalem. He is more impure, his level of impurity is greater, and therefore he is sent out of the most places, and therefore the Mitzorah is sent outside of Jerusalem. This law applies today. If somebody were to have Tzarat leprosy today, they may not enter the old city of Jerusalem. Whenever I enter the old city of Jerusalem, I always think to myself, when I went through the Jaffa gate, I always think to myself as I go through the gate, I am now changing from being in the world at large to being in a place which is different, that I could not enter this place if I had Tzarat, and I always find that meaningful. So when we say being totally sent out of the camp, that only applies to the person with Tzarat. He is the only one sent out of the old city of Jerusalem. The Rambam continues, and this is the one that is most applicable today and is applied in Israel on a daily basis. The Temple Mount is different from the actual temple and different from Jerusalem. There is a whole host of individuals who are not allowed to ascend onto the Temple Mount. Zav and Azava are men and women who have unexpected bodily emissions. Nidot, which is a woman who has a regular bodily discharge, and Yoledet, a woman who just gave birth, they are not allowed to ascend onto Har HaBayit. Because of their level of impurity. This has ramifications to today for somebody who wants to ascend onto the Temple Mount. Any human being is likely at some point in time in his or her life to have contracted this level of impurity that excludes somebody from entry onto Har HaBayit, onto the Temple Mount. So this means that a Jew must purify his or herself before going up onto the Temple Mount. The place retains its sanctity even to today, and somebody has to use a mikveh before they go onto the Temple Mount. How can we go on the Temple Mount if we've attended funerals? Because tamei meit afilu hameit atzmo mutar likanes lahar habayit. The prohibition of entering the Temple Mount does not apply to somebody who attended a funeral. That's only the temple. But the Temple Mount, you can't go there if you had a bodily discharge. What this means is when they take people onto the Temple Mount, anybody who in their lifetime ever attended a funeral, which is basically all Jews, may not go onto the spot that held the temple. So the tour guide says you can't go to that spot because you once attended a funeral. You have contracted a certain level of impurity. And the Temple Mount, one can go up on the Temple Mount if they attended a funeral, but they have to be careful to use the mikveh for these situations. And therefore, we recommend to this day, it's amazing, these laws are laws related to the temple. We don't have a temple, but to this day we apply this law. If somebody is going to ascend onto the Temple Mount, we tell them you have to use the mikveh the day before, to make sure that in case somebody had one of these emissions, they removed that impurity before entering onto the Temple Mount. We generally work under the assumption that these spaces remain and retain their sanctity even without a temple being standing. But we generally assume that the Temple Mount retains its sanctity even without a temple. And we assume that when the second temple was built, it was Kitchel Ashaita v'Kitchel Atid Lavo, which means that the space was sanctified for the rest of time. And therefore, even without a temple, those spaces that once held the temple retain that sanctity, and somebody impure may not ascend onto those spaces. Part of the idea behind this biblical law is the notion that we have a hierarchy or different levels and steps of impurity and of holiness. The way that we mark the higher sanctity of Jerusalem is by excluding some people from it. The way we mark the even greater level of holiness of the Temple Mount is having another set of impure people excluded from it. The way we mark the heightened sanctity of the temple is by having yet another level of impurities excluded from it. How do we mark the sanctity of space? How do we mark the transition from spaces of no sanctity to greater sanctity to even greater still? Well, the way that we can mark that is by excluding levels of impurity. The rabbis understood this aspect of the law, and therefore they added additional levels of exclusions to highlight even increasing levels of sanctity. The chel, which is the rampart surrounding the temple, mishalchim menu akum utmei meit uvoalei nidot. That's a higher level. So if you went to a funeral, we don't let you enter that chel, this sort of fence which goes around the temple, location. Aval tfu yom nichnas hasham shekvar taval. But somebody who touched a dead rat and used the mikvah may enter. If you touch a rat and you use the mikvah, you're still a little bit impure because you have to wait till sunset to be totally pure. But you're one step better, so you can enter one step further. Ezrat Nashim, the women's courtyard of the temple, Mishalchim Yimenu Tful Yom, we say, if you use the mikvah, but you haven't waited till sunset, you're not totally pure, then you can't enter. Avalo Mechusar Kippurim, but somebody who has used the mikvah and waited for the sunset, but didn't offer a purification sacrifice, may enter. Meizat Yisrael v'lifnim, but the actual temple, afilu mechusar kippurim lo yikanes hasham, you can't enter until you've brought your purification sacrifices. So the way the rabbis have set it up is that you have five or six different levels of increasing purity. You enter Jerusalem, and you bid goodbye to the leper. You ascend onto the Temple Mount, and you say goodbye to the person who has attended a funeral. Somebody who has had an admission. You enter the chel, the rampart. You say goodbye to the person who entered the funeral. You enter the women's courtyard. You say goodbye to the person who touched her at this morning and used the mikvah but didn't have their sunset. And then when you enter the actual temple itself, even somebody who had used the mikvah yesterday and had their mikvah and had their sunset, they still can't enter if they haven't offered their sacrifices. And this series of gradations and levels of impurity mark the increasing sanctity of each successive space. The Rambam writes, Tama mushloch mehar abayit. If somebody with an emission goes onto the Temple Mount without using the without having the requisite purification, in nichnas over below ta'asa, if the person enters, they have violated a negative commandment. Shnamar, as it says, v'yatza michutz l'machane, zeh machane shchina, lo yavo otoch ha'machane, zeh machane levia. It's a negative commandment. You are not allowed to enter. It's not just a positive commandment, which we began with, to keep these people out. It's a negative commandment that's violated when you enter. And a leper who enters Jerusalem gets lashes. He has also defiled the camp. He has violated this requirement not to defile the temple. If a leper enters another city, there's no lashes, because the other cities in Israel do not partake of the sanctity of the temple, so there's no lashes. But if they enter Jerusalem, it's defying the temple, and therefore lashes are given. Notice the Rambam mentioned what happened if somebody entered Har Habayit, the Temple Mount, that you get lashes. And the Rambam mentioned the person who entered Jerusalem, that you get lashes. But what has the Rambam not yet mentioned? What happens if somebody enters the temple impure? The Rambam says later, Tamei shenichnas lemikdash b'mezid. However, if you actually enter the temple, onesh kares, the punishment is karet, being cut off from the nation, right? Dying early. No, the Torah says you bear your sin, which means that the person gets karet. Me'ezrat Yisrael b'lifnim, from the Israelite courtyard and inward, then the person receives karet. The Rambam in this case is trying to have his cake and eat it too. There's one negative commandment which applies to everybody that is being sent out of the camp. But even though there's only one negative commandment, the Rambam says, some of the people that are included in this negative commandment, the punishment is mere lashes. Other people who are included on this negative commandment, the people who enter the actual temple itself while impure, receive karet. Perhaps my worry or concern about not entering the Temple Mount, because maybe I might not use the mikveh correctly, or maybe I might have an omission and not be aware of it, perhaps that's misplaced. Because the Rambam says that the major injunction, that those scary words of, you know, defiling my temple that I dwell within it, that seems only to apply to the actual entry onto the temple. If you enter the Temple Mount, that's something wrong, because we're trying to create this ascending staircase of purity levels. So you can't enter the Temple Mount under certain circumstances, but it's not as bad. And the way the Rambam understands it, karet is not given in that circumstance. Karet is only given if one actually enters the temple when the person is not authorized. The Rambam raises the following case regarding somebody entering the temple. The Rambam writes, Tamei shenichnas lemikdash derech gagot. Conventionally, somebody enters on foot through a gate onto the space. What if somebody came in via a rooftop? Or the way that we would say this today, what if somebody was in a helicopter and parachuted out of the helicopter and ended up on the Temple Mount? So here the Rambam writes, it says that the person is exempt from punishment because it says, Ela mikdash lo tavo. The theme here is temple entry. The Rambam calls these laws the laws of temple entry. It is an entry when you come on a parachute. That's something different. So if you parachuted onto the Temple Mount, one actually would not punish you. Makinoso makas mardus, we're going to still give him rabbinic lashes because this is the wrong thing to do. It treats the temple with disrespect. However, the person does not get karet. Somebody today actually wanted to ascend into the area that was formerly the area of the temple, and to do so without violating this prohibition, they could parachute out of a helicopter and thereby avoid the violation of this prohibition. Now, the Rambam also discusses what one does if somebody finds themselves impure. Nichnas l'mikdash v'nitmasham achar shenichnas. Somebody who entered the temple pure and then became impure after entering. Afilo tameat mosham b'mezid, even if the person intentionally became tameh. Yimaher v'yibahel v'yetzeh b'derech k'tzara. The person must live in the shortest way possible. This is actually not an unheard of possibility. There's a lot of slaughtering that goes on in the temple, and a slaughter that is incorrect, that is done in an improper way, creates ritual impurity. You could imagine a scenario where a priest, where a kohen, slaughtered the animal incorrectly and then becomes impure. So what are we going to say? Are we going to say that this person receives this karet? So the Rambam says that as long as the person leaves as quickly as possible, there is no violation. Asuva l'shahot, he can't delay. O l'shtachavot, can't bow. O latzeit b'derech aruka, and the person is not allowed to take a longer route out of the temple. Bim shaha, and if the person pauses, Oshiyatza ba'aruka, or they took a slightly more circuitous route to leave. Oshiyachzir panav lecha v'shtachava, or he buy it on the way out. Then chayav karet. Then the person is in violation of, receives this death penalty because they could have left more quickly and they didn't. And by not leaving as quickly as possible, they are guilty of making the temple impure. It is amazing, in summary, how this one verse contains within it not just a law about a temple, but a staggered set of laws about Jerusalem, a temple mount, and a temple, and how this law applies even to this day, governing who may enter the old city of Jerusalem, the temple mount, and the place where the temple once stood. When the law is violated in its most complete and extreme sense, karet, divine death, is the punishment. Luckily for us today, most people do not go to the place where the temple stood. If anything, people will enter the Temple Mount or enter Jerusalem, which even if you got that wrong, the punishment is only the lower, lesser level punishment of lashes.